Off the Ball, GAA.
I think the manner in which Jack and his backroom team managed life post-Mead was just marvellous.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Okay, dusk is descending over Croke Park on this Sunday evening. The Seagulls are coming in for their feast, but myself and Keane are still here to give you a little Sunday bonus podcast this week. We've just seen the Steelers beat the Vikings by 3 points in a very, very unexpectedly close game in the end. The Vikings had the ball driving for a game-tying field goal. They didn't ultimately make it. The Steelers probably did deserve to win. But Keane, like, again, we were watching at the start of the fourth quarter, paying attention, you know, starting to think about what was going on in the golf. And then, my God, did we get a game to match the occasion in the end, because it really lived up for the last kind of 4 or 5 minutes of, which it actually takes about an hour. So the last hour was definitely just drama filled.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was kind of saying to you at the start of the fourth quarter, like, what the hell are the Vikings doing here? They were up against their own end zone. They were at 99. They needed a 99-yard touchdown drive because the Steelers decided to go for it, and they ran the ball with Jordan Mason. I'm like, oh yeah, you're under your own goalpost. You always run the ball to give yourself some breathing room, but not when it's 10 minutes to go and you need 3 scores. Yeah. So I was kind of looking back going, right, what are you doing? You've got your backup quarterback in. Maybe you just accepted your fate. And really, as much as we want to credit the Vikings, I think it's more about the Steelers. That blown coverage left Addison wide open. Like, he couldn't have been more open.
Yeah.
And if he is fully fit and it wasn't his first game back from injury, he's going to the end zone. And that's keeping that extra time then, because ultimately it took them, what, another 90 seconds?
Well, they got it on fourth down.
Yeah, so it took them quite a while. And they'd run the ball in that as well. It wasn't 3 incompletions and then finally getting in. So, like, the Steelers were very, very lucky
to
get out of
there. Out as well.
Like, after dominating for 3.5 quarters, essentially, like, you can look at them and kind of go, maybe you guys should have scored more. Like, your defense pretty much did its job except for that one play. Like, they dominated on the defensive line. Watt had that interception, but he was also consistently getting pressure. I mean, like, overall, great occasion. Like, really, really, really good game. And in the end, like, we got what we were looking for. We got everything we really needed. Star players made plays. 2 good teams.
Yeah.
Bunch of drama. And then the crowd. Like, you were saying it already when we were on radio earlier, and I really felt it today in a way I didn't expect to. The crowd, especially at the end, man, that felt like we were in Pittsburgh.
It was phenomenal. I would love to hear from anybody who listens to the pod regularly who was here today to see that they share our experience with this. But I've been to the London game a number of times, and just even during the game, I just asked a couple of people who were here in different parts of the ground who've been to London maybe even more times than I have, you know, how does this compare? Because for me, it was incomparable. Like, this was a real NFL football atmosphere. Now, the only difference you had between it being in, like, Heinz Field was that there's so many Vikings fans that a third down for the Steelers was also loud.
And there was no snow.
There was no, well, okay, yeah. There's other specific differences, Keane, if you want to get into that.
There's no river outside, but that makes field goals difficult as well.
In terms of the noise, it was even a bigger atmosphere in a way, because you had so many Vikings fans that they were constantly making noise. So it was just really loud all the time, but it was really, really engaged. It wasn't this sort of, like, don't get me wrong, we had the carnival of jerseys and we had people who were here for the session. If you went out onto the concourse at any time, even during the game, it was full. Like, it wasn't like this was 75,000 people glued to their seats watching the game with full knowledge. But it didn't feel like that percentage was as big as it is in the London games. And I think that goes to what the NFL said previously about the amount of people who are coming over, about the interest they have, dwarfing all other international games in terms of interest from the States themselves. The Steelers fans and the Vikings fans, in fairness, just came out in numbers. And I also think that there's a huge and engaged NFL population in this country that were here watching this game for what it was.
I do wonder as well, like, you mentioned the other games, and I feel like London is a place that, like, people in Holland will jump across to, people in Germany will jump across to.
And there was a bit of that here today, like,
a little bit, but the fact we now have the Germany games, you have the Holland games, you even have the Brazil and the Mexico games. Like, I have a buddy who's gone to London next week for the Vikings game again after being here today. Like, he can do that easily enough, but I do think the people on the continent probably aren't going, I need to get out to Ireland. Whereas I think Americans are like, oh my God, I've always wanted to go to Ireland. Now my team is playing there. I'm going to Ireland. And we saw that walking around town all week. Like, there were just people here constantly. Everyone was here. But like, the occasion, I think, I wonder, like, this can't be a once-off because it's been too successful, like, as far as I can tell anyway, maybe from the outside looking in. But everything from the NFL, from the NFL Network being here, from the former players being over here and talking to them and how they've got on,
yeah.
From the shops now here, the Steelers have a permanent shop here, well, permanent short season. The NFL had their pop-up shop that was just queues out the door. Like, it has to come back, especially after the way the game went.
Did that series is growing, not contracting. I don't see any reason why this wouldn't be a regular, if not permanent, stop, because it's been, again, just the atmosphere here today, the amount of tickets sold, the amount of money spent, I would imagine.
You, yeah. Because I was thinking about this a lot this week. What was your first encounter with the NFL when watching it? Sorry, I wouldn't say watching it, engaging with it.
Oh, well, as a kid, I was a big NFL fan. Like, as a 3-4-year-old, there's a picture of me on Christmas morning with, like, a Chicago Bears jersey, because this was the late 80s and the Bears were the team. And I don't...
Was that Fridge?
I found the number since. I found the jersey, and I have a picture, and I looked up who was the number, and it was, like, a completely random player. Like, I have no idea who it was. I haven't even committed to memory, because he wasn't famous, or probably an offensive lineman or something, but God only knows what way we were. And then, for some reason, when I got a helmet... Like, when Santa brought me my Chicago Bears jersey that I wanted, he also brought me a Denver Broncos helmet.
Oh, yeah, because they always go together. Right?
Yeah.
So, Homer Vlad, Denver Broncos.
The NFL was, like, it was a really big deal for as a kid, and it was just something that gravitated towards. But then it went away, because it did. It was a fad.
Yeah.
And the fad went away. And when what happened was, I watched the Super Bowl just as an occasion, something to watch, you know, in the 2002. So it would have been 2001 Super Bowl. Which was the Patriots and the Rams, and the Rams were, like, red hot favourites and were, you know, the greatest show on turf and so on, and the Patriots were hot shot upstarts with an unknown quarterback, and I picked the underdog, as I tend to do, and became a Patriots fan, and obviously witnessed, like, you know, an unbelievable dynasty and so on, and they kept me interested through the getting to know the period. So yeah. I think that was, for me, what hooked me. But that's going on 25 years. But anyway, sorry, I actually was trying to get to a point, but then I realised I don't know why you asked me the question, so there's no point in doing that.
So I went back to you when you had that first Bears jersey and said, oh yeah, you're going to watch them play live in Croke Park. Not them, obviously.
Yeah.
You're going to watch the NFL play live in Croke Park.
Well, I probably would have said, yeah, okay, cool, because I was three. But
he's such a dismissive three-year-old.
Croke Park,
not excited about anything.
I wouldn't have known any different as to why they wouldn't.
The reason
but
I have
no, you're right, though,
that memory is in my head, all right? And it's been in my head all week, where I started following the sport, and I can't say watching the sport. Mm. I saw it at Christmas for once. I saw Brett Favre hit Greg Jennings, or Donald Driver, I think it was actually, for a game-winning touchdown against the Vikings in a snow game at Christmas. Fell in love with it after that. But I became a Steelers fan, and it was like maybe 8, so sorry, 25 years ago. And at the time, I wasn't like...
I didn't notice.
What?
Steelers fan?
Yeah, I've said this many times. You just don't listen to me. I'm not anymore, because once I became a journalist, I was like, I'm not really... And they won, they won a Super Bowl in the first year I watched them, so I was like,
that's
I've completed
this.
That's why
you're always banging on about, like, left tackles from the Steelers and all. I just
noticed. Well, to be fair, I bang on about left tackles from every team. But what happened was, I picked a team, and I did it literally randomly off a list, and I was like, oh, they have a cool logo, so I'll go with them. And they weren't on TV at all, and I was a kid, so I couldn't afford, like, to pay to watch their games.
Yeah.
But at the time, they used to let you listen to Steelers radio.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was cheap. Well, not cheap. It was affordable enough that I turned to my mom and was like, Mom, can I get this? And what it used to happen was, when I was a kid, and I'd be going to school on the Monday, and I'd be listening to the Steelers game as I was going to bed on the Sunday nights.
Mm.
And I was like, I don't even get to watch it. But now I was like, fast forward 20 years,
you're
and that
here.
Kid's in there, asleep, falling asleep while Craig Wolfley and Tom Chilkin are doing the live commentary. By the way, live commentary of NFL games is great.
Mm.
They're so fast-paced, which is so confusing because the sport is so slow at times. But I just can't, like, go back or fathom going back and being like, hey, in 20 years, well, the media aspect of me being media and not in the fan, that would be blowing my mind. But in 20 years, you're going to have the chance to watch the Steelers play in Croke Park and actually see them. That would never have made sense to me. So it is one of these, and I've had these conversations with other people as well who are like, grew up Bears fans, grew up Vikings fans, or whatever, Colts fans. Like, they all do absolutely look at this and go, this doesn't make sense, but we love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I mean, and you talk about, like, this place as well and what this means. So I'll fast forward to not from me being a 3-year-old Bears fan.
A dismissive 3-year-old to a dismissive adult.
But from being a, you know, kind of 16, 17, 18-year-old, whatever, Patriots fan. And think of it, like, what this place meant to be in, like, to say the 2002 in February in Super Bowl. I'm here a few months later for Clare in the All-Ireland final, you know, losing. The one that we lost.
Yeah, stop talking to me about losing All-Ireland finals.
I won't. But what I'm saying is, this is the centre point of, like, so much of what I love about sport. It's what my sports life is in this stadium. But the American football was very much outside of that. Yeah. I talked about this before. The reason I got really hooked on it was when I started working in sport when I was like 22 or so, it becomes a lot less fun and it becomes a lot less of a release from everything else you're doing. So when I'm studying in college, go and watch the match, like that's, you know, a completely different thing, and that's my outlet. Your outlet is your job. You kind of find a new one, but it's always going to be sport for me. So it became Sunday night and watching the NFL and so on. But it was a very kind of on my own thing. There was a few people around, don't get me wrong, and you would chat to people who were also fans, but it wasn't this massive community. Whereas like Croke Park, that's the centre of your life, you know what I mean? And you're coming here with all your family and so on for the Clare matches and everything like that. And when you do fast forward 20 years and you see how many people I talk to about NFL on a constant basis, the fantasy groups, everything like that, and to culminate here today, you know, it is just remarkable. I've been to the college games and things like that, and I do feel there's a little bit of sort of event junkiness to that. And it's not to say there's anything wrong with that either, but it is kind of event junkie-ish, whereas this was here for the sport and to see it and to support it, really.
It was a part of the season, even though it's a big part of the season for us. Like, we still go on to next week, and what next week is, and what power
we'll still be here on Wednesday, like, to talk a little bit more about this with Ger, and then also look ahead to the games.
That's essentially what our podcast is, though. It's a tree of people who just really want to keep talking about NFL and covering NFL. It's
somewhere for us to go.
Like, the podcast happens every week.
So we're not annoying people out in the room. We go into the studio so that they don't have to hear us.
The office is like, will you lads go away? We should really talk about this game.
Well, let's talk a little bit about it, because some of the stars of the game, right? So DK Metcalf had an 80-yard touchdown, which we should go into. Rodgers had his moments. I don't think it was a perfect game by any means, and, you know, you needed to see it back. But I thought there was some interest, and he dodged a sack with some footwork and ran for a first down. I was like, whoa, Aaron Rodgers, where's this been, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years, you know? And it does feel like he is just a little bit healthier, and also he's in such a good situation in a Mike Tomlin set up with a good team around him.
Basically, it's to do nothing.
But it's giving him that chance, isn't it? It's giving him that chance to say, right, if there's anything left, we'll get it out of you. Whereas last year, you know, the Jets weren't going to get anything out of him.
It's the Jets. What do you expect? That kind of explains the NFL.
If he's not Packers Aaron Rodgers,
they're not winning. He's
on the Jets, so there's nothing. It's not going to be good enough. Whereas with the Steelers, you just need par quarterback play, and you're going to be pretty good. Like.
I think there was a clip this week of Rodgers being asked if he's going to go for points after the game, and Tomlin was standing right next to him as his media scrum was around him. Yeah. And Tomlin looked like a proud father looking over him, and he had a quote on afterwards being like, Aaron's done everything we could have possibly wanted from him. And I would say when they signed him, there was a list of like, this is what you're not going to do while you're here. And one of them would have been, you're not doing the Pat McAfee show every week, which he hasn't done. And it's like, the spotlight has gone off him.
He's much quieter,
And that's kind of how he fits in the offense as well. The spotlight is off of him. Even without Jalen Warren today, they still relied on the running game for the most part. Rodgers actually, interestingly, only had 4 incompletions today. He 100% kind of played within himself, played within the offense. Yeah. He had the huge play to Metcalf. Outside of that, we never saw him drop back and spiral the ball into deep or hit someone downfield.
Yeah.
Everything else was underneath.
You're right, and absolutely, but it never felt like he was completely out of control of the game.
No.
The Steelers were never chasing. If they were, I felt like he could get the first down. There was one moment in particular that, again, is just something you see in person, and look, maybe it was highlighted on TV, maybe it wasn't, where he looked in trouble, and he just waited that extra second before shoving the ball off. It looked like he was going to be sacked. And instead of just chucking it up, he actually just waited that extra half a second, put his arm out wide, and found the guy out on the sideline and completed the pass. And you're just thinking like, wow, these guys just have an inbit. Like, these top level guys just have the ability for everything to slow down, and a second for them is a lifetime, and so on. And that was a great thing to see in person. We should talk about Kenneth Gainwell in a second, because he had a really, really big game. But actually, what I was going to say next, again, just another in-person observation. And I remember this gun. The first NFL game I saw was at Wembley, when the Bengals and what was then the Redskins had an unbelievable shootout game that went to overtime. And AJ Green, who people have forgotten about. We were talking earlier about how you just forget about these NFL great players, but after they're gone. But AJ Green was in his absolute pomp at this stage. And I could not get over how his ability to just get in the game. And then you're watching today, and it was Metcalf on one side, and especially Justin Jefferson on the other. And you set up the play, and it's 2-1 every single time. There are two guys basically completely covering these guys, and yet they get open all the time. If the ball is, if the quarterback is looking for them, they're there. The actual ability of these top-level wide receivers, especially Jefferson, is actually just such a joy to behold, because they are just, again, you can understand why they're paid the big bucks and why they're the stars. It isn't just getting in the end zone every now and then, it's every play.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of saying to you at halftime as well. It was like Jefferson had a bunch of catches. He had a 15-yard catch to set up the field goal just before halftime. And I was kind of turning around and going, I don't think Jalen Ramsey has been on him once. Yeah. And now the Steelers, it worked out for him in the end. They never really adjusted that and put Jalen Ramsey on him. If he drifted into him at times, he would have covered him. But outside of that, they kind of let Jefferson have his and focused on attacking Wentz in the pocket and shutting everything off at source, which did ultimately work. The Metcalf, like, I think Metcalf had a decent game. He actually had five catches, but it felt like they were all quick
throws.
He was big
in the first half as well, wasn't he? Like, yeah.
Yeah, like that 80-yarder.
Steelers did nothing in the second half, now that I think about it.
Like,
really,
literally on offense, because it was 100% Gainwell just carrying the offense. Like, Darnell Washington was their third best receiver today with three catches for 20 yards.
Yeah.
Calvin Austin had two quick throws outside. He got injured on one of them, injured his shoulder. Hopefully he's back and he's all right. Jonnu Smith wasn't involved at all, two catches for 6 yards. So it was essentially just Rodgers hitting Metcalf for that big play, and then two or three other plays where he hit him. Gainwell, though, he had 99 yards on 19 carries and two touchdowns. But my thing with Gainwell is, you look at him, and he's small. Mm. He was a receiving back for the Eagles. He was a very effective receiving back for the Eagles. But today, that wasn't really how he played.
No.
He was bullying guys. Like, he was running in and gaining yards through contact after the catch. His touchdown run in the first half, in the first quarter, rather, he went through a tackler in the hole. He skipped by him, obviously, a little bit, but you still had to break off the arm. The same when there was a moment where they were trying to kill the clock at the end, and they got to a third and one. But on the second and seven before that, he was trapped in the backfield, and he had to turn sideways and run sideways, and he was running straight into a cornerback who had a perfect angle on him.
Yeah.
And he just put a hand out, brushed him off, and turned around the corner, and that got the Steelers to the third and one. Now, obviously, they didn't convert it in the end, but you're looking at that play and kind of going, if they had converted that third and one and the game was then done at that point, it was Gainwell that made it. Yeah. It wasn't the actual conversion of third and one. And with Jalen Warren being out, because Warren was so good last week, Warren was brilliant against the Patriots when he was catching the ball outside, but he wasn't that great running the ball in between the tackles. He did generally, like, I think he finished with 2.6 yards per carry. Gainwell seemed to match both today, even though he didn't catch a huge amount of passes, 6 for 35, but he made plays when he needed to.
And he was someone that I thought was flagged up in preseason as, you know, he's a guy who's playing behind Saquon in Philadelphia. He's only going to get so many chances. And there was a sense of, like, by the end of the season, he could supplant Warren. It was one of those, like, this is Steelers football. They're picking up guys who nobody else is thinking about. Yeah. And actually, wow, what a fit. And look, I believed it because these people know more about the NFL than me, but I watched it today, and it's absolutely the case. Like, he's a dangerous... Like, again, it's not even danger. It's not. I don't feel like he's going to burst you for 45 yards at any point, but he's going to just continuously pick up first downs and just be a solid member of the offense.
I think that comes back to the identity of the Steelers, though.
Yeah.
Like, we look at all these offensive players and, like, oh, they make one or two plays and you're delighted with them, because the defense just means you're always going to be in that relatively low-scoring game. Like, they don't need anyone on that side of the ball to hit 45 points, because they know the pressure they're creating on the other side, which is why I feel like today really missed, like, obviously you missed JJ McCarthy, but Aaron Jones as well. Like, Jordan Mason had that fumble at the start, he got away with in the end.
Mm.
But outside of that, he had a couple of good plays, but he didn't really make any big plays or have any major impact. So the Vikings need to get healthy, obviously, and I think it wouldn't have made a massive difference in this game, just because their offensive line was getting beaten every single play, basically.
Anything else you want to talk about? There was, I suppose, I don't know if we need to talk about whether Carson Wentz is an NFL quarterback at this stage, but, you know, it's funny.
He's an NFL backup at this stage.
He does still have the moments, doesn't he? Like, he still has that, like, I mean, this was a guy who was obviously drafted number two and had his moments and, you know, got a Philadelphia team that would win the Super Bowl to a certain stage before he got injured and so on. You know, I think they were... Did they win 13 or 14 games that year? I think he was MVP. You know,
like, against the Rams, didn't he? Yeah.
That's all in there somewhere in him, but it's just the consistency is not there.
And the body is broken down as well. Like, if you look at the interception, that's a duck. That ball is floating in the air. Like.
Yeah, so he's intercepted twice. He was sacked, I think, 4 times in the end. Did you enjoy watching TJ Watt in person? He got an interception. He had, which I missed. But you saw the replay. He had some pressure, but didn't, like, I mean, he set up sacks for others, but
yeah,
he wasn't his dominant self, but he was just watching him on the outside of the line before every snap. Fascinating.
I really enjoyed all of the Steelers' pressure today, because they mixed it up a lot.
Keanu Benton had 2 sacks, and Patrick Queen had one, and Deshaun Elliott, the safety, had an interception and a sack. It was not a bad day for him.
The Patrick Queen one sack is the one that lingers in my mind. It was the first drive of the game, I think, and they stopped it for the field goal, and it was a blitz where the line all shifted to Watt, and obviously they're focusing on Watt, and Queen came through, shot through the middle. Wentz held the ball for a split second too long, and he gets taken out from behind. And it's, those are the margins with him, and like that's the difficulty of playing in the NFL. But the thing about this Vikings team is, like, the Steelers are gone for a bye week next week, as far as I know. The Vikings are going to London.
They're here, yeah.
No, well, yeah, well, they're
sorry, going. Here is in this part of the world.
Let's get over the Irish Sea. So they're playing the Browns next week. Now, the Browns game is obviously ongoing at the moment, so I don't know what state they'll be in. But you look at the Browns and you think, that's a very similar defense they've got to try and handle somehow with Wentz. But you do look at the offense over there and you're kind of like, Joe Flacco will keep that game close and they might actually get back on track next week. But it's suddenly a very, very important game for them, because 2-3, it's a 3-2 is all right. 2-3, you kind of start digging that hole that you need to climb back out of, that you don't want to be in, especially in their division.
We'll see what happens tonight as well, but I wouldn't, like, I mean, I would fear the Browns defense more than the Steelers defense, and you'd wonder how much opportunity they're going to get to rack up a score. That could be a very low scoring game.
Yeah.
If it's
good luck, Wembley. Enjoy that one, lads.
Yeah, exactly. We win again. Right, was there anything else on the football side of it you want to talk about? One or two more things to get to before that, after that.
No, nothing on the specifics on the football side. Just very happy that we got what we were hoping for.
We got a nice day as well, which was nice. It's very bloody cold up here now in the press boxes. It gets dark in Croke Park. Pre-match pageantry. We had the Artane Boys Band playing Firework by Katy Perry.
I didn't understand that.
We had limited, I would say, military, over the topness. There was a flag presentation by both the American, some branch of the military, and by the Irish Defence Forces. Just kept kind of quiet. The anthems were
big. I thought Lyra was great.
So this is what I was going to say, right? So there was the American flag took up half the field, and a kind of what you would usually expect from the American anthem in an NFL game. It was a performance.
American lad living in Ireland for the last 30 years.
There you go, yeah. From Louisiana. And not a bad performance. But, yeah. You know, whatever. It was weird to see a flag that size on the field in Croke Park. Regardless, like, people say, "Oh,
I'm so real." Useless.
I was like, "Oh, is there a problem with an anthem played?" Like, you know, it's like, yeah. No. Like, I mean, the anthems are played at games all the time. It's absolutely fine. The flag was a bit much, but then the Irish side of it, Lyra came out, and for the first time I've ever heard, she matched the singing of the American national anthem. She sang. She gave a performative performance of our Ron Levine. I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Did you enjoy it?
I
don't know.
I feel like I shouldn't have, but I didn't hate it.
I'm just backing the Cork one. Like, I mean,
yeah.
No,
her performance was genuinely brilliant. There was no way of arguing that. It's more, do you want that with your anthem or not? Because there is the thing as well, where the cheer here is like, you know, you reach the crescendo for the American national anthem and then everybody cheers for their country. Whereas in Ireland, we reach about 2/3 into our anthem and then we start cheering for our county.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a very different thing. We're not supposed to kind of get to that mad crescendo at the end. People don't even hear it most of the time.
I could be wrong. It feels to me, like, remember it was a Catherine Jenkins and Charlotte Church used to do the Welsh national anthem in the rugby? That's kind of what it reminded me of. Maybe they're a little bit more operatic, yeah. But the kind of the powerful sound of it, and it resonates in a stadium, I feel like, especially a stadium where the atmosphere is building, the excitement is building.
Yeah. Last thing then, right? I thought there was a great turn.
Give me one before we finish.
One, yeah.
The other thing we didn't mention is there was no Palestine flags as far as I could see. I didn't see anything.
No, I didn't see anything either. Yeah, so
which Dave Zirin was talking about with us earlier this week.
Yeah, so week. I suppose we'll see. Kind of, I think when we kind of get a clearer view on things when we get outside the stadium. But it did seem as though there was no inside the stadium protest from what I could see, and I think there'll be a kind of a sense of disappointment about that from some people, and that's fine too. But I also think that if we're looking at this purely from a American football fan point of view and taking out politics out of the NFL and so on, and you just think of it as like, is this going to be a home for the NFL? That was the thing that may have, and it didn't concern me because I would have fully supported anybody who wanted to do that. But if it was to be a case of like, oh, if this place isn't worth it, we can find another 75,000 seater stadium somewhere else and go there. That wasn't on display at all. So there's nothing for the NFL in their point of view to be embarrassed about from today's occasion. And whether you you can take that either way, I suppose. You know what I mean? I'm taking it both ways. As yeah. We've talked during the week about these things as well, as like you can enjoy the sport for what it is, and you know, like, we're not idiots, and neither are all the other people that are here today, and they can believe two things at once, and they can, you know, you're not getting completely brainwashed by something just because you like the sport and so on. So look, there's loads of different ways of thinking about that, but you're right, there was absolutely nothing that visible to me anyway that I could see. We forgot, on a much lighter note, we completely stopped with pre-game. We were doing our 32 teams.
You said you'd remember them all, how many we had and didn't have.
Well,
I didn't see it.
I don't think we got a Carolina Panthers jersey.
No, I saw one coming to the stadium, if that counts.
Yeah, it does. It does count. That might be all then. I think we
might have
got
them. Is that the only one you were missing?
It's the only one off the top of my head. Oh.
Falcons?
Here, I'll give you one, but you must have seen one, because there's no way there wasn't one. I did not see a San Francisco 49ers jersey.
I did, yeah.
Okay, well,
I saw one next to a Lions jersey. You saw it too, but you were just...
Did I? Okay, right, okay.
I think that we were talking to Donnie at that stage.
I think that's everything then. I think that might be all of the teams. What I was going to say though about how
I didn't see a Raiders jersey.
I did. There was a Raiders jersey sitting in front of us in the press box, believe it or not.
Yeah, there was a Steelers jersey behind us.
How?
Cheering.
Something that they did that I've seen it with. I was at a Jags home game. I was at, you know, I'm trying to think of what home games I was at.
Commanders jersey, I didn't see.
I did. Yeah, in inverted commas, home games in the UK, in London, right? There was an amazing kind of, like, it was all pre-game and it was very, very neutral and it was a lot of fun and they did lots of, like, you know, what we talked about, the Artane band and so on. And the next thing, there was a switch flicked and they played like a 1970s video and it was the Steelers fight song. And from that moment on, this became like full-on Steelers central. Like the way they got like a beautiful lighted up tunnel to come out of. The Vikings came out of a nondescript tunnel with no lights. And there was just this vibe, wasn't it? And then you could see the amount of terrible tells. And you got a sense from that moment on how many people were here that were real, true Pittsburgh mm-hmm. Steelers fans. And I don't think we ever kind of came out of that atmosphere from that on. It had been this sort of like fun, big occasion that felt a bit more for the Irish audience. And from that moment on, it became about the Pittsburgh Steelers crowd. And I just think that's a really, I don't know if it's a hard thing to do or not. It might not be, actually, if you have that many people in the ground. But it was a real illustration of how much of an occasion this was. And I was saying to John before we went on air, this was an NFL production. This was the NFL on display in Ireland and to Europe. And everything about this ground, everything about the setup, the people on the tannoy, the lights, the interviews, everything was America's presentation to us. Whereas I think sometimes we've talked about this a little bit as our presentation to America and people watching this over there and how much they'll fall in love with our beautiful stadium and they'll think Ireland's a great place to go. And I think that will exist a little bit, but that's not the advertising that's going on. The advertising is, here's the NFL and look, we've brought it to you.
And if you're in America, you loved it, probably, presumably, where in America. But definitely the people here loved it. So it's kind of winning with everyone. It's not like a situation where you're taking from one side and giving it to the other, you know?
Yeah.
But I think you summed it up pretty much perfectly there. Just to go on your point about the intros, the introductions, very simple measurement there, maybe a very basic measurement. The level of cheers for the stars versus the normal regular starters.
Yeah.
As soon as TJ Watt's name came, whole place exploded.
The whole place went.
Cameron Hayward
nuts,
followed him,
yeah.
And he still got a massive cheer as well, yeah. Because Cameron Hayward's that veteran guy. So, yeah, 100% may as well have been at a Steelers game.
It really did feel like it. Didn't feel anything like there was sort of an explaining what a touchdown is to people.
Oh,
I'm sure it was. Oh no, sorry, that was
before,
happening on
before,
the tannoy.
Yeah.
But I mean, is it didn't feel like it in the stands?
No.
I'm sure it was in pockets, but in general, this was a real fan occasion.
I can't believe there were people shouting abuse at each other in the press conference. Did you see that?
No.
The gang behind us were shouting abuse at another Vikings. Like, there was Steelers group behind us.
There was
a Vikings group down there, and then was like kind of gone.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said at the press conference. This was in the press
box.
Sorry,
in the press box.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was totally weird. They were getting a few looks from the people from the Leash people.
Yeah.
Sitting in front of us.
Who
were too high. Never seen the likes of it.
They've
never seen the likes of it in the press box at Croke Park.
I'm sure you've seen some of that in the gaff.
I'm not sure. Okay, listen, we'll leave it at that. We'll try and get home and watch a little bit of Red Zone, so we'll actually have something to talk about beyond this when we come back on Wednesday night. If you were at the game, I hope you enjoyed it. Definitely do try and get in touch with us. Just contact Keane there. He's on social media. What's the best way to get in touch with us, Keane?
Just contact us at offtheball.com. Or actually...
Offtheball.com?
No, yeah, sorry.
We have a comment section.
Info@offtheball.com if you want to send an email. That will come directly to me. I shouldn't say that. I'm getting abused.
No, do send them in, because I would love to kind of talk about people's experiences.
DM us on Instagram, that's the best way too.
I'd love to talk about people's experiences on Wednesday at the show. Jarrah was here too, he wasn't working, he wasn't in the press box, so he'll have his own story to tell. It'll be great to hear from longtime NFL fans who listen to the podcast about their experience in Croke Park today. So do get in touch with us. We'll also talk about some other teams, I promise. Although I don't know if I'll be wanting to talk about the Patriots given the latest score there. But anyway, that's another story.
Plus, it's great when the audience does our work for us. The Patriots are winning right now, by the way.
Oh, are they?
7-6.
Okay. You told me lies.
Yeah, but they just scored.
Okay, we'll be back with you soon. We'll see you Wednesday. I hope you enjoyed today. It was a big one for American football fans of long time. It's kind of, there's something very, very special about this all happening. And yeah, our community is all together as one.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'll just wrap this up now, I think. Right, see you later.